One, we are rolling.
I'm ready to drink.
You ready? I'm sorry to keep you here.
I'm so ready to drink. Hey, but everything's good.
Let's do this.
It's all hooked up. There's no sound issues.
No, I mean, we got a whole new setup going here. We're like profesh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'm ready to drink myself.
All right.
What you got for me today?
Well, first off, I'm Zenobia.
What's up, everybody? My name is Jason.
And this is the Lights, Camera, Cocktails.
Yes, it is. I want to let you do it. I like the way you do it.
Yeah, say. I like when we do it together.
Okay.
Where I just
do it together?
Where I just say the cocktails.
I'll cue you in.
Yeah.
And 3, 2.
No, I say cocktails, you say lights, camera.
Fine, then you cue me in.
Okay. 3, 2.
What's up, everybody? This is Jason and Zenobia. We are Lights, Camera,
Cocktails. Boom. That was good.
Drink. It is late.
Okay.
We've had a long day.
Oh, my God. I had jury duty today, you guys.
I know.
2 days worth of jury duty.
Send me the pictures. I felt so bad for you.
It was so awful. It was no Law and Order. It was no Dateline. It was boring as fuck. And I had to tell them that I was leaving. I was like, I can't stay. They had me almost stay for a third day. And I was like, I can't stay because I have to babysit my 3-year-old niece, Robin.
Robin, you are 3 years old.
For my brother, and they're going to Hawaii.
Okay, so. You can't be licking me all day, though. I know it's late. I know you miss your mom, but we got a podcast to do.
Robin. So I am so happy that I got out of jury duty because that just sucks.
Okay. What do you think is worse, jury duty in Riverside or jury duty in L.A.?
Riverside, probably. L.A. probably has, like, some cool shit going on. Actually, it was a cool case.
No,
I don't want to talk
no
about
cool
it.
Shit going.
What do you mean? There's, like, everything under the sun that could happen here.
Yeah, but you still got to sit in that shitty-ass line all day.
It doesn't matter where you go. Jury duty sucks. I'm ready to drink. I've been...
Only difference is meth crime versus drug cartel crime.
This one was a murder case, so I'm kind of glad I didn't get it because I didn't want to be all that.
No, you can't do that.
Yeah, so I've been waiting a week to drink this drink.
Let's drink.
You ready?
I want to drink.
Okay,
yes.
So we are drinking.
I have not been able to drink for a week, so yes, I want to
drink. You've been sick for a week.
Yeah, let's tell the world I got food poisoning.
I just said sick. I was just being very kind.
Do not go to sushi in NoHo Arts District.
Ooh.
I don't remember the name of the place, but damn.
Ooh, burn.
Yeah.
I don't like sushi, so that's all gravy.
Tell me how Ashley survived the whole thing, though, because we ate off the same, like, plate.
She's got a stomach of steel.
Apparently. I just got the bad one.
They made one bad of each batch, and she got the good one.
To be for him.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, we got there late. They were getting ready to close. But, dude, that don't mean you gotta ruin my week.
Have me laying up in bed.
I lost 12 pounds.
Wishing to die.
My shirt is wearing me.
Well, maybe I need to get food poisoning. I can use 12 pounds gone. In a week?
In a week, I lost 12 pounds. I lost that 12 pounds in, like, the first 3 days. I'm gaining it back.
Especially since it's beach season.
Yeah, that's yeah, I'm gonna be shirtless quite a bit soon.
All right, so I got a nice beach drink for you.
Okay.
Okay, so it's called a Coney Island Full Grown Float.
Coney Island Full Grown Float. And
yeah.
This is a beach drink?
No, just because it's Coney Island.
Okay.
I was trying to segue into it.
It's an island drink. We can call it that.
I know. I don't know. It was a segue. I was trying.
All right. Well, let's make it.
Let me tell you what's up in this while I make it.
All right.
So it has 1 ounce of vanilla vodka, 1.5 ounce of cream liqueur, and 1 bottle of Coney Island hard root beer.
Speaking of hard root beer.
Yes.
Please, Nobi, I know you're dying to tell us.
I have been dying to tell you guys.
How hard was it to get this root beer?
So, apparently I called everywhere, and nobody had it. They were back ordered, and all this stuff. And finally, I had to go on their website, and I found that there was one in Claremont called Rocky's Liquor. I just want to thank y'all because you saved my life.
Thank you, Rocky's Liquor.
And I called him and I was like, yo, do you have this? He's like, yeah. I bought the last 4 6-packs because they're discontinuing it. Or at least in California, they're not having it here. So that sucked. And so I grabbed my friend, Corey, what's up? And I threw him in the car and we drove over there to go get it. And so I don't know if you guys will be able to make this drink. I have had it prior to this. This will be my first like original of this drink. But I had it with Not Your Father's Root Beer. So you can always use that. It's just a hard root beer.
We're going to decide tonight which one is better.
Which one's better, yeah. Okay, so.
What's that little thing you're using?
Oh, you guys, I'm getting real real with it. I got my jigger. This is what you measure liquor in. This, okay. If you're not like a professional or have the little spouts on the bottles.
I am definitely not.
Yeah. So this one is an ounce and this one's a half an ounce.
Got you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Building up the equipment over
I am.
Taking this podcast seriously. I am.
You are. Both of us. We have a bunch of new stuff. Maybe you're taking the drinking seriously. I'm taking my drinking seriously. Okay. So what you're going to do is put the vodka and the cream liqueur into a shaker. And shake it. It says shake it for about 20 seconds.
I don't know what that shake sounds.
I just love it. Like, even if it was just water in here.
Okay, but you'd like maraca in it now.
Okay. So, you pour it into the glass.
Oh, that looks good.
Okay. I feel like I gave myself more.
That's all right.
Are you feeling okay?
I'm... Let's play it safe with me.
Okay.
Not only that,
I feel like you're gonna
on
like
an
it.
Empty stomach, we're going to order some pizza later.
I know, I'm so hungry. Okay, so here we go. The Coney Island Hard Root Beer. Boom. And then you just pour a little bit of that on top.
Be generous. Oh, yeah.
All right. Since this root beer we'll never be able to find again.
Oh, my God. I hope it's good.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers.
Ooh. No. It's better than the one that I had made for me because I had chocolate liqueur instead of the cream.
I mean, it's all right.
I mean, maybe it's because I use Bailey's instead of just like a cream, but...
I'm not a vodka guy. That might be what it is.
It's vanilla vodka. Are you a root beer float?
Oh, I love root beer floats.
You want me to pour more root beer on there?
Let's
maybe
do some more
maybe
root
that's
beer.
What I...
Maybe that's what it is, because it's all frothy up top right now.
That's why you're supposed to shake it for 20 seconds, so it's like a root beer float. All right.
It does taste similar to a root beer float, though, especially with all the suds up top. Yeah.
Okay, so I just want to say this Coney Island, the root beer, it is pretty good.
Let me try.
It's good. It's not as sweet as Not Your Father's Root Beer. Which, like, I can't drink a whole bottle of that. But this, I can.
Okay.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty good. So if you live in New York,
send that's me the only place to get it now?
I don't know. I'm just assuming. I tried to look up it being discontinued, and I actually couldn't find information. But while we're drinking these delicious drinks, let me give you a little history on our drink. So, Coney Island Brewery Company, which was founded in 2007, was deemed the smallest brewery by the Guinness Book of World Records.
Really?
Yeah. They were only doing, like, a pint of beer a batch.
What?
Yeah. Is that what it said? Let me see. Hold on. Let me see.
Yeah. A pint of
Not
beer
a pint.
Per batch.
Where'd it go? Where'd
so if a dude comes to the bar and is like, let me get a pint. Like, he's like, all right, give me 3 weeks. I got you.
Oh, 1 gallon. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I'm a little buzzed.
Already?
I smoke weed before I came. I need to stop
That's
doing
not
that.
The same as buzzed.
No, okay. I'm a little spaced.
She's a little hot.
Okay, so. So from the Guinness Book of World Records, smallest brewery. From 2011 to 2012, they brewed out of this free space called Sideshow by the Seashore.
Bob. What? I had to.
and it's a 10-in-1 Circus Sideshow, ooh, located in the world famous Coney Island amusement park. So after a while, they got purchased by.
You're just gonna act like you didn't drop your pen.
Salmon. Well, I was just gonna.
Everybody heard it.
Why are you gonna put me on B like that? They could have just not known what that was.
And okay. Then they would have wondered, what kind of rinky dink podcast is this? They got random noises everywhere. No, she dropped her pen.
Dude, she's
high. She's drinking. I am.
Shut up so I can finish what I'm saying. Okay. Okay, so in 2014, they were bought out by Sam Adams.
I like Sam Adams.
To be honest with you, I can't say that I've had one.
Really? You gotta go to the bar and shoot some pool.
Okay.
When I shoot pool, I'm usually drinking some Sam Adams or like a Blue Moon. I don't know why. It just puts me in a different space.
Blue Moon just tastes like summer.
Narrow in on that table.
Yeah.
Get my color of money going.
Okay, so they were bought out by Sam Adams. And so they kept the name and they created 24 or 25 beers. But they're known for their hard root beer, which I don't understand why it's discontinued if this put them on the map.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Wikipedia. I'm drinking still out of the bottle. It's good.
Wikipedia, you suck. Your information is probably lies.
I'm probably going to grab another and just drink straight root beer.
That's fine. You might as well. I'm going to keep a bottle or something because since it's so
right.
Rare. So,
podcast yeah. Memorabilia.
I know. So, yeah, that is our Coney Island adult float. Is that what it's called?
Coney Island.
Full grown float. I can never remember the name of it.
Full grown float.
Yeah, because we grow.
It's not an adult float. It's for full grown adults.
Mm-hmm.
I got you.
All right, so.
And it's even though it's a float, they don't put no ice cream in it or nothing?
Not if you're an adult.
I guess. I still... Adults eat ice cream.
Should I put, like, ice... Do you have ice cream?
I got a gallon and a half in the freezer right now.
What kind?
Costco.
What flavor?
Vanilla.
Okay, water. So when this goes down a little more, I'll throw that in there. All right, so do you want to tell me what we were doing?
Are we ready?
I'm ready.
We are doing the Warriors, people.
Warriors. Come out to play.
I'm not going to lie. When I started saying Warriors in the mic, I felt like the DJ in the movie. What's going on there, you bobbers?
I think
you can probably do it
better. Dude, I kind of want you to take a picture of just like my
side
mouth.
Profile yeah. Of your lips talking my into lips the mic. Like,
I got some red lipstick, too. I'll throw that shit on. Yeah,
do it.
I've always loved. Okay,
we can do that.
Yeah. All right. So of course you know that there's a drinking game.
Always a drinking game.
I don't play. I did not.
Is it played on the train?
Let me hit you with the rules.
Okay.
Okay. So drink every time the radio DJ makes a new announcement.
All right now, for all you bumpers out there in the big city.
Okay.
Ajax says or does something offensive.
Those lousy skin-headed fucks.
Whenever a strange gang, with any strange gang lingo is said, like bop, bopper, or japped.
Unless you want to go up there and get japped on an open platform.
All those 70s lingo yeah. That you don't understand no more.
You're like, yeah, boppers. Dude, who the fuck says that?
This movie was made 50 years ago. Do you realize that?
1979.
It came out in 79, which means it was filmed in 78, minimum.
Yeah.
50-year-old movie we're doing today, people. It's a classic.
I'm trying to get us a little
and
older one.
And they're stealing from it even today.
Yeah.
Those of you who watch The Get Down, you'll know what I'm talking about.
I love this movie. That's why I picked it.
It's a great movie. I'm glad you picked it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you take your drink. When a subway train is shown, a drink every time the Warriors run from conflict or danger. The name of the gang is said.
Warriors.
The Warriors loses a member of the group, which seems to not happen.
Yeah, I mean, they don't lose too many.
They don't lose too many, but I mean, they lose one off, like, straight off,
right off
the
bat. Right off the bat, yeah.
Yeah.
This is true.
So, you take a drink every time Marcy makes an advance on Swan.
that little hoe.
I love her. I understand that bitch, so I'm not hating on her. And especially
I love the of opening a new bottle. It's so good.
Alright, so you finish your drink when Cyrus dies.
Oh,
I know.
That means you finish in the first drink.
Within like early. The first...
We spoil movies on this podcast, people.
FYI. Yeah. Okay, so anytime the Warriors come out to play, and when Luther gets his ass kicked.
Yes!
I actually added that last one because I didn't think it was fair that I shouldn't pound a drink while I watch this fool get, this racist ass motherfucker get beat by a bunch of black ninjas on the beach. You know? So I added that.
Everybody was into that kung fu.
Yeah.
Stuff back then.
So did you know that it was a book?
Only because you told me. Before we started doing our research on this podcast, you told me. So I'm going to say yes in that respect.
Yeah. I actually read probably a quarter of the book.
Did you?
Years ago. But I stopped because it got real. I'm actually going to tell you about a part that is like too much. And when I got to that part, I was like, you know what? This is good. I feel like it's going to take graphic. This movie for me.
How long ago was this?
It's probably like 5-6 years ago.
Okay.
It's been a minute.
So like 20, early 20s, Zenobia.
It was too much for me. So
college Zenobia is too much.
It was college me. It was during my like huge Amazon book phase where I would just buy like $5 books from libraries. I'd be like, oh my god. Yeah, it was during that phase. So I didn't feel bad about missing it. But I actually looked for the book for this and I don't know where I put it.
Okay, this root beer's getting me fucked up.
Alright, take your time. I got some water here. You want some water?
No, I just like it.
Okay, so this book was written by Saul Urich.
Saul?
Yeah, I hope that's right.
Urich. That sounds about right.
he's the writer. Uh-huh. He is the best for the best-selling book of the Warriors, which came out in 1965. And before the book was published...
There you go. Wait.
Already.
Get that right in the mic.
I did. Saul had worked for many years as an investigator for the New York City Department of Welfare. So he would check on people.
So a lot of this could be based on real situations.
Well, yeah. So kind of, I didn't know all this until I started researching it. He had grown up poor in the Bronx, and he was the son of a communist activist.
Especially during that time. Bronx was on fire during those times.
They struggled to survive during the Depression and everything, but they believed that their politics would ultimately rule the world, which I don't know what they thought was
good. Okay.
He also served in World War II, which is awesome.
Oh, man.
The people that he served for the welfare department, he worked for families and juvenile delinquents. And it struck him as very different that he too grew up poor, but these people seem to believe that they couldn't change anything with politics and stuff. So that was one thing that he noticed. And he also said that there was many gangs that belong out there and that some of these gangs were rolling like 100 deep.
Damn.
Yeah, that's what he said. And so I think this is, this is
New York gangs, man. They don't fuck around.
Yeah, this is kind of, and this is probably in, well, I don't, our gangs is problem. I feel like it's different from like early 60s gangs.
Yeah.
You know, if this book came out in, what did I say, 65? So let's say like it's like 1960, their gangs can't be as bad as like the Blood and the Crips. But they're out there fucking still doing shit, yeah.
Access to certain things. I mean, the worst thing you can do, no matter what gang you are or what time you're in, is kill somebody, and I'm sure they were doing that back then.
True.
I seen gangs in New York.
Yeah.
Fuck me up.
I'm not a big fan of that movie. It's too much. Yeah. I think it's just too much for, not too much, it's like the lead up to the end is still like, I don't feel like it was worth me sitting there for like 2.5 hours.
Oh, yeah. No, me.
I know. And that hurts me because I'm a big ass Leo fan and I'm a big ass fucking Scorsese fan.
Friendship, so. Oprah.
Oh, that's okay. I'm still your sister. We don't have to be friends. That's fine.
It's one of those times. Yeah. Family. So I love you, but I don't like you.
You, the other day you were talking shit on Michael B. Jordan, so we're even.
Okay.
We're even. Okay, so Saul, he completed this book when he was about 40, and he published it. He's published other books, but I did not look into that because I didn't give a shit.
I mean, it's not relevant. People don't want to hear about the other books.
Yeah. If you do,
unless Google. The other books became a movie.
Nothing that I saw.
It's not J.K. Rowling it.
Yeah, no. It's not a
continuity. It's not Tolkien it up.
No. So, he said he wrote this book partly as a counterpart to the glamorized portrayal of gangs in movies.
Gangs got glamorized?
West Side Story, particularly.
Oh.
But you got to think what time period it is. They don't really have any, like, it's just...
I mean, the 50s beatnik versus the 70s. Yeah. But, when you reject your What's the story? It's a musical. Away.
Your first cigarette to your last dying day. I know. So that's a part, partly, I guess, why he wrote this.
Okay. He's like, what? No, gangs
He's
aren't like
I'm
that.
About to tell
what?
You about the
They're not
real
snapping
shit.
And swinging, and the worst thing that happens is you get stabbed.
They didn't have reality shows back then, so they didn't have, like, First 48 and First 30 Days and all that shit, where you're like, ooh, I never want to go to jail.
Yeah.
Especially after sitting in jury duty. God, if I had to sit through it and my life was on the line, that sounds awful. All right, so on January 2013, Saul died in Manhattan at the age of 87 from complications of lung cancer.
I mean, 87 years old.
That's pretty good. That's the year I was born, so.
I'm not going to say when I was born.
Can you edit that out, actually? Let's keep that a mystery.
I'll edit it out.
I can hear you. Okay, so.
Still not doing it.
The book and the movie have quite a few differences.
Do they follow the book for the most part?
Like I said, I didn't get too far.
Oh, that's right.
But from what I remember,
listen, Jason.
From what I remember, and from my research, no. So in the book, the Warriors, their name is not even the Warriors.
What is it?
It's called the Coney Island Dominators.
What?
That's their name, and all the gang members, Swan and Ajax and stuff. That's not every. All the gang members have. Different names.
Okay, I'm glad that they changed it then.
Why?
I like Swan and Ajax and the Warriors.
Well, I guess I should have looked up what
you
their other names
were. You can't be like, Dominators come out to play. It's not the same.
Well.
I mean, maybe because I've already seen the movie and I know it's
Well, in the
Warriors,
book,
but still.
If I'm not mistaken, from what I can remember is, it's not the same as in Cyrus still gets killed. They all go to the park and everything.
Is his real name Cyrus in the book?
I don't think so. I think it's something else. And I was upset, like, who the fuck is this? Oh, that's who you're supposed to be. Anyway, so...
you gotta play guess who with the book.
Yeah, everybody scatters because the cops come once they hear the shooting. And it's not that everyone thinks that they killed him. It's that they have to get back from... Riverside Park all the way to Coney Island. And all bets are off now because...
Riverside Park is still the same location in the book and the movie, though.
Yeah.
Still Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they have to go from there back to Coney Island. And they, like, stop and, you know, they call... They have, like, their social worker or whatever and they call him and they're like, yo, dude, we need you to come help us. This shit's hit the fan. And he's like trying to find them, but they end up like, you know, getting through some shit.
Okay.
And so this is the part that I stopped reading at. Because in the book.
Does it fucked you up just too much?
Just a little bit. Okay. So in the book, there's a lot of crazy things that happen. Like when they meet the girl, what's her name? Marcy? I don't think that's her name in the book, but when they meet the girl, she runs off with him like she does in the movie. Mm-hmm. But then they see this guy standing on the street and he's like looking at him crazy. And so they like jump him and they like stab him a fucking bunch of times.
For what?
Because they're a gang, man. You looking at me crazy? I don't know. And so they kill him. Get this.
With no motive whatsoever.
He was looking at them crazy.
That ain't no motive. Don't give me that shit.
I'm not giving you any shit that's a motive. I think that's all bullshit.
Yeah.
And just, that's not even
the worst. I think this dude didn't understand gangs enough to depict them properly.
That's not even the worst part. So after they stab this man multiple times, they grab the girl, they throw her on top of the body, and they gangbang her. And then they run off to go catch the train. So when I read that, I was like, you know what? Mm-mm. And I kind of stopped.
Okay. See, that's a touch much. That's more like something that Luther's gang would do.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, you can't make the main gang be something like that.
Yeah.
This dude got too many calls at his day job and didn't realize what gangs are all about. Well, and tried to, yeah.
This is also partly supposed to be based on this Greek set of stories called Anabasis. It's by Xenophon.
All right.
Yeah, if I'm wrong, I don't even want to hear it. So, it's a Greek story, and it was composed around, 370 BC. So, that's one. So, you know how they are about, killing and raping and stuff back then.
Oh, yeah. So, absolutely.
That might make a little more sense. So, that's my little bit about the book. You want to hit me with the movie and hit me. Hit me with it.
Hit you with the movie?
Hit me with the movie, the people.
I hit you over the head with the movie.
Hit me with it.
This movie is fantastic, people. 50 years old, and it still holds up to this day. Director, Mr. Walter Hill. Walter Hill, let me just say, is an unsung hero in Hollywood. You want to know what movies he's done?
Hit me.
I'm just going to tell you what he's directed. Okay?
Mm.
48 Hours.
Ooh, good one.
Another 48 Hours.
Ooh.
Brewster's Millions.
Love it!
Trespass, Undisputed, and most recently, Bullet to the Head by Stallone.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Holy shit is right. I didn't know all this about Mr. Hill. Not only that, he produced all the Alien movies.
I did know that.
You did know that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, homeboy grew up in Long Beach, and I think he always... apparently he worked at a oil drilling place and did some construction and stuff. But he got his start in Hollywood as a second AD, second assistant director on Bullet with Steve McQueen.
Oh!
And the Thomas Crown Affair.
I love Bullet.
Yeah, so he came into Hollywood as a second AD, which is, I don't know how easy that was to do way back when,
mm-hmm.
but it's hard to start as a second AD now.
Now, yeah.
You know, not only that, he wrote Steve McQueen's movie after Bullet, which was The Getaway.
I don't think I've seen that
one. You ever seen The Getaway? They redid it in the 90s, I want to say.
Who's getting away in the 90s?
Alec Baldwin.
Ooh.
If memory serves correctly.
I would go see him. He's the greatest actor.
Yeah, him and Kim Basinger, I think, is the two.
I don't really care.
Which is probably how they met and probably how they got married.
Don't
just
gonna
throw that out there. It could be true. Could be not. I do know that they got married for a while, though.
Did they?
Yeah, they did.
Wow.
But yeah, Walter Hill has been making movies, producing movies, writing movies forever. And I mean, dude studied at Michigan State and also somehow found his way to the University of Mexico City.
Say what?
Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, we got perfectly good schools here, Walter.
Mm.
Hill, which sounds like a white name. Look, so I don't think he's following his roots or anything.
I don't mean to, like, stop you. But this trick is really good. And it's all foamy like it is a root beer float.
Mm-hmm.
This is... I'm so happy.
You have such a big smile on
because
your face.
I've been
right
waiting
now.
So long, like over a week, to drink this.
You look
it
like
took
a
me forever
kid
to fucking find this.
Drinking eggnog on Christmas.
I know.
Or
I'm like, oh my god, this actually is really good. And I'm sad that I can never find this fucking root beer again. If I ever see it, I'm about to clean the shelves.
And I think you're just happy to be doing this movie because I did make you wait an extra week.
You did.
Because I was dying.
Every day I was like, how you doing, brother?
How you doing, brother? Just checking in on you, but in actuality, can we get this podcast going? Seriously?
I never said that. I was constantly just checking on
I
your
know
status.
I know.
It but was, you knew that's what I was
it
thinking.
Was 50-50.
I was like, bitch, you ready?
Man up.
Man the
fuck up. We're
going to
do this podcast from the bathroom.
We just set your mic up over there.
Just laugh me up. No. Absolutely not. This is an audio medium. That would be a terrible
podcast. You're like, so the Warriors. Okay, so hit me with the cast.
Okay, let's get into it. So I don't know if you know, but there's not one like A-list celebrity in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know? This movie was made up of people that you never heard of and will never hear from again for the most part. So, like, the main character, Swan, played by a guy named Michael Beck, and he actually is one of the few that kept acting. Most of these guys did not keep acting.
Except James, whatever.
Yes, James Remar kept acting. He played Ajax. He's the jackass of the Warriors, which I would like to point out right now that he definitely was entrapped.
He was entrapped. They fucking got his
they
ass.
They got his ass.
They got his
they
ass. That makes
him
me upset too, because I feel like they could have used him later down the line.
Oh yeah, they definitely
got picked up for
he
no
was
reason
their muscle for sure.
And like I like when they're running from like the baseball theory, and the guy's like, "Oh, I don't think I can run anymore," and he's like,
"Good. I'm sick of running from these whips."
And he stops.
He's like, "Tired of running from these assholes."
To like you said, this movie was filled with newcomers.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to cast people that they didn't know because they wanted you to relate to them, feel the dangerous situations that they're in. So the cast themselves kind of felt like they were a gang when they started filming.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And James Ramos even spent time at Coney Island for a while just to observe people, just try to figure out who he wanted to, what kind of character he wanted to build.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I've never been a huge fan of James Ramos, but I'm not going to lie. I mean, after this movie, he has got the biggest,
yeah,
resume of everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, after this, what did he do? You know what I realized when I started doing research on him? He is the Samuel Jackson of the white men in Hollywood. He is
in absolutely everything. Oh, I thought you were going to say that. You realize that he was in Sex and the City. That's what I thought you were going to say.
I did find out he was in Sex and the City.
Samantha's.
You know what my favorite role he ever did was?
Hmm. Dexter.
No. It was a movie. The Girl Next Door.
Oh.
Hugo Posh, the porn.
You're going to have to find me a drink to pair with this because this is like the fourth or fifth time. Like,
in did
a
I mention
that you've mentioned this
door
to me
did
in
I
a
really
month? Yes.
I mean, okay. I got you. I got some stories about that movie. We can do that one.
Okay.
But Hugo Posh, he's not a porn star. He's the porn maker.
Yeah.
You know, he's the producer.
He gets everyone together.
But James Remar is in Fast and the Furious, Pineapple Express, Mortal Kombat, White Fang. And he does a whole lot of voiceover work, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I got to give to him. He's got that voice that just resonates.
He does have a good voice.
You know? So, like, I know he's voice for one of the Transformers. He's just killing it. And recently, Tarantino picked him up. For what? Well, he first put him in Django.
Oh, that's right.
And now he's in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, my God.
He's in both of them. Oh, I hear a knock at the door.
Who is it, Robin?
Who's here, Robin? Who's here, Robin? It's my baby.
Lashley in trying the to be building.
Quiet. Hi, baby. You want a beer? Or, I'm sorry. Would you like a Coney Island hard root beer?
Give her your drink. You're just babysitting over there.
I told you that these kind of drinks do not agree with me.
So give it to her.
Especially after what I've been through for the last week.
A Coney Island... What's it? Damn it, I can't remember. Grown Float? What the fuck is this? What's the name of this shit again?
Wow.
Full Grown Float.
It's a full grown float. How you doing?
Okay, so.
So moving on from James Raymar, there's some other people in here. David Patrick Kelly, who plays Luther, who you hate. That means he's a good actor.
I've seen him a couple other things.
Yeah, too. He's still working to this day.
I think he's on a Law and Order.
Is he on Law and Order?
As a character, but
he's definitely a character actor.
Yeah.
And he became a villain for sure, especially with that voice. And he's not a big guy, so he's like that
little fucking rat.
Yeah, he's like that motherfucker that you owe. You know who he is? He's that little motherfucker in the neighborhood who talks shit or throws rocks at you or whatever, and then runs in his house and hides behind his parents.
That's him.
You know what I mean?
It was the Warriors! The Warriors did it!
It was the Warriors!
It wasn't us. It was them. The Warriors.
This was his first job.
He did a great job.
Yeah, he did. After that, Walter Hill kept him in 48 Hours, who he also put James Raymar in.
Yep.
Then he did Commando with Schwarzenegger. He did The Crow. He was in Crooklyn.
Fucking neighbor.
Yes.
Who's always like, get out. That's right. Yes.
Tony Ives.
I love.
That was him.
Oh, my God. Yes. That's right.
He's in
right.
The Longest Yard.
Yeah.
He's the one that lights Chris Rock on fire.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's
stupid. Spoilers again.
my old roommate, Emily, what's up, girl? She, not an actor at all, but somehow her and her like siblings did like extra work. Like they got to sit in the audience for that movie.
For The Longest Yard?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. That's a good one. I like that one.
Yeah.
One of Adam Sandler's better movies. And most recently, he was in John Wick 1 and 2. You know who he is?
Mm-mm.
He's the cleanup guy. So after John Wick kills a bunch of people, he's the one that comes and gets rid of the bodies.
And then he got all...
gets the gold coins and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
But dude's bad. You know, he's a good-ass actor. He always has been. He just happens to be one of those guys that he plays the villain.
I just like doing things like that.
You look at him like, nope, I still hate him.
I mean, he yelled at the little girl in Crooklyn, man. Little bastard with his little Coke bottle glasses. You know who else is in that movie?
Which one? Crooklyn?
Oh. Miss RuPaul.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is.
I love it.
She keep her panties clean.
Clean. She all up in the store and shit when she tries to sell. My favorite drag queen.
Okay. Moving on to the DJ, we got Lynn Thigpen. She did a number of things after this, too.
Yes.
Oh, you waiting for me to say it?
Lean on me when you're not strong. And I hated her in that fucking movie. I'll be your friend. She's trying to get him fired.
Mrs. Barrett.
You leave Morgan Freeman alone.
And I do not issue idle threats. Then don't, huh? Because I don't want to hear it.
Some people call me crazy. Yeah, I call them. Damn. Oh, I'm about to fuck the line up.
They used to call me Crazy Joe.
Crazy Joe, but now they call me Batman. That's
ain't gonna mess up that line.
That's why I stopped myself, because I was like, oh, I don't want to be that person.
You know what my favorite line of that movie is? when he's got Sam's on the roof.
You smoke crack, don't you?
Yeah. Why don't you smoke crack?
Why did you jump off? You smoke crack, don't you?
It's like, the trouble with young kids is you don't know shit. Problem is, you think you're smarter than people that have already been down the road. You're traveling.
You traveling. He was
so good.
Spitting nothing but knowledge.
Mm-hmm. You know what else she was in?
Fairyside.
Sorry, I had to do that.
On I had to do that. Okay, go ahead. We'll put that. I'm gonna put that on the list right now. Go ahead.
Yeah. She was Grandma Walker in Blank Man.
Oh yeah.
Uh huh.
Dang, it's been a cool minute. I need to see these.
And speaking of Blank Man, actually, similar movie, not Blank Man. Guess who else? Let's talk about the people that were in this that you barely even realized they were in it.
Hit me with it.
I'm speaking of Baseball Fury in particular.
I got some fun facts on that.
You know who played a couple of the characters in Baseball Fury?
No.
Robert Townsend.
Shut up!
Yes, Robert Townsend, the Meteor Man himself. Parenthood.
Really?
Yes.
You saw his face?
No, he's in the credits. He's in the credits.
Okay.
So I don't know which one he was. They were all painted.
Let me give you some... Where's my Baseball Fury shit? All
right. I got okay, one more. Can I say it? Can I say it?
Hit it.
Can I say it?
Yeah.
Steve James.
Yeah.
Steve James is also one of the Baseball Fury.
Okay.
Steve James, for those who don't know, is the big buff dude in all the American Ninja movies. he's the coach in Johnny B. Goode with Robert Downey and Anthony Michael Hall. He also was a stuntman in The Wiz.
Really?
Yeah. He was a good actor. He was in I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
And unfortunately, he died in 1993.
R.I.P.
Cancer.
R.I.P.
So he acted up until the day he died.
Dang, I would too. All right, you want some fun facts about Baseball Fury?
Give me some fun facts about Baseball Fury.
Okay, so the Baseball Furies were created by Walter Hill's love for baseball and the band Kiss.
What? Oh, that makes sense.
Great.
Okay.
Okay, so another thing about
them. I mean, I didn't see anybody with a star on their eye, but it's very similar.
Yeah, he just wanted some cool painted
faces. I got you.
So this, I don't know if this has to do with what you're saying, because I didn't hear any of these people. I had no clue that were in there. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the Baseball Fury were all around the ages of like 30 and older, and that's because they were from Stunt Unlimited. And it is the most sought-after stunt group in Hollywood, apparently, for the past, like, 60 years.
Really?
Yeah. And so they have a guy that can do literally anything. They're like, you know, they're like, oh, I need a guy to jump off a roof. And they're like, oh, I got a guy for that. Or I need someone to get blown up in a car. Oh, I got a guy. So, yeah. So they are, like, the most sought-after. Everyone uses them as their stunt people. And they even, their stunt coordinator was from there, that company, and he even put on a stuntman boot camp for the actors.
Okay.
So
there's a lot of action in this movie. So yeah, absolutely. That was very necessary.
Yeah, because they did like a little stuntman school boot camp because Walter wanted it to look realistic when they were fighting in the film. So
he did a pretty good job.
You know what, fools? I need you guys to look like you could really throw a punch. Mm-hmm. So they did that.
That's necessary anytime you do an action movie.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Keanu Reeves and all that he did for John Wick after doing Matrix for so many years. You know?
Yeah.
Have you seen those YouTube videos of him training for John Wick?
No, but I'm sure it's incredible. Intense.
I'm going to show you. After all of this.
Okay. I'm hungry, so let's do this. I got another Walter Hill fact.
Give me a Walter Hill fact.
I feel like you're going to enjoy.
Okay.
Only my dad was very upset when I told him this.
Uh-oh.
So Walter Hill said that when he was filming, he said this in a 2005 DVD, like interview or like extra feature or whatever on the DVD. And he said, at the very beginning, I said that I wanted to do this primarily so that it was true to the novel. And so the only way that I could do this is by having Black and Hispanics. And the studio was not very keen about this idea. Mm. And they pretty much made him cast, you know, white people in this movie.
In the lead roles.
In the lead roles, instead of keeping it how he visions and how they vision in the book. Mm. So he even says, like, you know, I later realized that the studio was the reason why I ended up doing the comic book idea, was because it was the only way that it made sense to me. It was to do it like this. Like, they kind of took his idea of what he wanted to do for the movie and was like, yeah, that's nice, but we want you to do white people and we want you to do it like this and, you know, change this and change that. So he made it more of a comic book instead of the book, I think, so that it would be two separate things in his brain, which I guess kind of makes sense.
I got you. And to my knowledge, that was the first time that they incorporated those, like, comic book still photos into a movie, which I thought was fantastic.
I love it. I still love it. Yeah.
Yeah. And
it holds up.
Yeah. I don't know if you noticed, but the Get Down stole that in
season two,
I want to say.
I did.
Yeah. We're still fighting that casting percentage to this day.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. Hollywood.
Hollywood swinging.
Who was? I think it was Chris Rock when he was hosting the Oscars or something like that. He was talking about how yes, there's not exactly racism in Hollywood. He made a joke about it, saying it's more so that you're not quite in the club.
It's a club, and then there's like a smaller club,
Even
smaller.
You're not on the list.
Yeah. I know you're Chris Rock and you're one of the most famous comedians and actors in the world, but
you're still not on the list.
Yeah.
So, can I dive into this real quick?
Hit it.
Okay, I'm going to start with the music in this movie.
I'm glad you did, because I did not do too much on it, and I love the soundtrack for this.
I just want to jump on it real quick. The music in this movie is bad. So the music was done by a man named Barry Devorzin.
I thought you were going to say Manilow.
Manilow, yeah. definitely. No, this is far from Barry Manilow. But if you notice from the opening sequence, as soon as they're getting on the train and the music starts, it just hits you right away. Like, and it just drops you right in there. That beat and that score that he created immediately gets your adrenaline flowing. Like,
you're like, something's shit. About to go down.
Yeah, something's about to go down. And if you pay attention, if you watch closely, that beat continues to build tempo throughout the movie. Anytime the danger is getting closer and closer, it just builds and builds and builds. And it's like that tension's just, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I want that song just so I can play it while I'm working out or something.
I like the song.
Envisioning whooping some baseball Fury's asses.
I wish I could sing it, but it's the song that they play when they go into the Lizzie's, like little.
And the girls are all dancing. Lizzie's.
I can't remember the name of the song, but I really enjoyed
that. For those of you who don't know, which you should have already seen the movie if you're listening to this podcast,
you better.
The Lizzie's are the girl, all girl. Gang.
Are they supposed to be lesbians? Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Like lesbies?
Maybe. Maybe you didn't get too far enough in the book. Maybe in the book they're lessies and he just called them Lizzie.
One day I'll do it. I'll finish the book, okay, you guys? And I'll report back. But at that time when I started reading it, I was like, you know what? I'm switching over to Hunger Games.
They are little black widows is what they are. They invite you in. Them.
They were good.
You know,
they were the closest one to getting them.
Yeah, absolutely.
They were the closest one.
Yeah, they shot one of them in the arm or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, people get got. You know, how many do they lose? Three? Three of the nine?
I think so.
I want to say. There's the train situation. There's the cop situation. There's the first situation.
That's three.
That's three right there.
Yeah.
I don't remember too many other ones. I'm amazed that that girl didn't get them caught up. They're dumbass. You seem to like her. I wasn't a huge fan of her.
Okay.
She kept getting them in trouble and slowing them down.
Can I tell you why
all I like her? She wanted butt.
Can I tell you why I like her?
Okay, tell me why you like her.
She grew up and lived in a neighborhood full of dumbass men all the time. Okay. Her little neighborhood gangs was the orphans. They weren't even big enough to even make it to the meeting.
They didn't get an invite.
They didn't even get an invite. They show like a little snippet, like article, and they're like, look, man, they read about us in the paper, and they're like, juvenile delinquents burned down a house or something like stupid. And you're like, you guys are nothing. So she spent her whole life surrounded by these dumbass dudes all the time.
Okay.
She doesn't want to fuck any of them. They were all ugly and gross.
I mean, is it just me or all...
Their leader was a little scrawny guy.
Movies just show ugly actors.
That not everyone was ugly.
Not everybody
just
was
the
ugly
orphans.
In the 70s, but...
Just the orphans were ugly.
I don't know.
Their lead dude, he was like all weird-eyed and he was all skinny and like...
He definitely
you gotta take off your colors, man, if you're gonna come through here. And they're like, fuck you.
Which he only said because she was talking shit.
That's because she's really... If she... could run her if she was part of the Lizzie's, she'd be running that shit.
Why wasn't she?
Because that's not her neighborhood.
Move.
That's not how that shit works.
I mean,
that's not how that
it can be.
It can. That's not how it works. You know, she's
and even then when
she's like, you're letting these fools stomp through our neighborhood when you guys talk all this big crap all day every day.
I mean, come she's out calling here, them out. I'm not gonna lie, she is calling them out on their bullshit.
Yeah.
But at the same time, look at what she did during when they're in the bathroom under at the train stop. She's like, you know, those guys are watching you right there.
She was right trying there. To let him know she's just not as street smart, I guess,
obviously,
as we thought she was.
He's like, yeah, I know that they're watching me.
But now they
and
know.
And now they know that I know, dumbass. Thanks for giving it away.
I love when he's like, they all go into the bathroom. And she's like, I can't go in here. It's the men's room. And he's like, shut up. And he like pushes her through.
You ain't never been in the men's room before.
Her through.
Probably been in it 3 times today.
Yep. Okay, so I'm going to give
you... Were you telling me something about her jacket?
Oh, okay. So, apparently, during the scene where she's running in the subway, she falls, and the actor who's holding her hand doesn't let go of her hand and breaks her arm. So she has
her
to...
arm?
Like her
oh,
wrist, probably.
Okay.
Like her lower arm. And she had to be rushed to the hospital and get a cast in it. So what they did is wrote her out of the script for a minute. And had her come back. And he's like, why are you wearing that jacket? And she's like, because I'm looking for a girl in a pink, you know, dress.
Nice.
And they used that to cover up the cast. That's
rewrites.
Yeah.
That's how
and I always work. Thought that was her just being smart. Like, I stole it because, hey, man.
She's still acting to this day, you know that?
What else is she in?
She's in the ranch right now. She plays Ashton Kutcher's mom.
That's her?
Yeah.
No!
Yeah.
No!
Still working.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
You just blew my mind.
Sorry.
That was a real good fun fact. I didn't know that one. Wow. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. So, I would like to say this movie, this is a great story. They don't have too many movies like this, even to this day. This is... an adventure story, first and foremost.
Yeah.
If people don't realize it, it is an adventure.
And
these
survival
guys,
story.
What's that?
And a survivor story.
Yeah. What do they say in the beginning? This is a story about courage. Like they immediately compare it to the Spartans way back in the day.
Because what did I tell you the book was based off of?
Greek mythology.
Boom!
Okay.
Full circle.
Well, this is a story about an adventure, and the adventure is for survival.
Yeah.
In this particular
yeah.
situation. Their main goal is to survive the night and get back home after the treaty may or may not have been broken when Cyrus was shot.
Mm-hmm.
You got every gang in New York, hundreds of gangs, all in one location. and all of a sudden you're getting blamed for shooting the main dude, you got every gang on your ass.
Yeah, yeah.
This shit was crazy.
It was good. Speaking of everyone on your on your ass. Okay, so Swan in the original script was...
Not named Swan.
No, in the book, no. I don't remember what his name was. But I was like, who are these people? When I was reading it, I was like, who the fuck are these people? That's fine. I will give it... I will finish that book before I die. That'll happen. So Swan was supposed to be adopted by homosexuals and...
Really?
Yeah, and like a... And they were supposed to like sodomize him.
What?
And he was supposed to get away. And he was escaping and he leaves the Warriors home. It was one of the original.
I mean, he's real pretty. I'm not going to lie. But I mean, does that mean that he wasn't a warrior to begin with in the book?
None of them are warriors. They're just warriors as in a gang member is a warrior in the book.
What?
Their name is the... Oh, Coney right. Island Dominators.
Dominators. But does that mean that he wasn't a Dominator before?
To be honest with you, I don't know if this rape is in the sodomizing is in the book.
Uh-huh.
I did not get that far. But that was in one of the original scripts, though.
Okay. I'll take that for what it is.
Okay. So I'm going to give you a choice of what kind of fun fact you want to hear.
Okay.
Okay, so you can hear one about someone who was supposed to be in the movie. About
I always love those stories.
About who? About like behind the scenes crew stories
mm-hmm.
or an actor story.
What I gotta choose?
Yep.
Give me who was supposed to be in the movie.
Robert De Niro was asked to be Cowboy, but passed on it. Or Hill didn't want De Niro because he was too big of a star and wanted more newcomers. So that's the two, the rumors. So I don't know which one is true or not.
Cowboy didn't have a huge role, though.
He didn't. Okay, well, I'll give you, how about this? I'll give you another actor who was supposed to be in there because that one's not.
Okay.
Tony Danza was offered the lead, so that'd be Swan. But chose to film the TV series Taxi instead.
That was a smart move.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, Warriors was great, but Taxi was definitely made his career. Well, then again.
Who's the boss, man? That made his career.
Mona. Tony ain't the boss. Come on.
Okay. So, filming this movie, they had a lot of shit that they had to go through.
Really?
Yeah. Like, so the opening scene, it had over 1,000 extras. Okay. Over 1,000 extras were used.
That's a big ass budget.
For the big meeting. And it was held at Riverside. Riverside Drive Park. And here's something that is, I guess I never knew, but... It just makes it more authentic. According to executive producer Frank Marshall, they originally hired a real gang member for the role of Cyrus, but they couldn't find him on the day, and they never heard from him again.
Homeboy got caught up in that gang life.
Yeah, apparently. But Michael / Swan says that the guy who was Cyrus is always... supposed to be him, so you know how it's a mystery. All these rumors on this movie. See, when you get old movies, nothing but rumors.
It's all hearsay after hearsay, so many
hearsay.
Years.
But they hired real gang members to be extras.
I got you.
They also
they've been doing that for a while.
Yeah,
like
Michael Jackson's "Beat It" video.
Those are real gang members?
Yeah. Not the dancers.
Obviously.
But like the niggas in the back who look all tough. That's the real ones.
Okay.
But they use...
Or more recently, End of Watch. Those are real gang members.
Oh, okay. They used this real gang called the Mongrels. They hired them as protection for like $500 a day.
Mm.
because other gangs were like, what the fuck, what the fuck? You guys just coming through here? Like, another thing that they, like, they had to pay off a lot of gangs. Like,
oh, yeah.
The warrior sign that is painted on the bathhouse for, like, the main photo where they're kind of, like, standing in front of us. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think so.
It's not in the movie. It's a promotional picture. And it's like a big wall. And it says warriors. And it's like all of them standing there.
Gotcha.
So when they painted that, they painted over real gang people's shit.
Oh, shit.
They did not take kindly to that.
Nope.
So they offered them roles in the movie and gave them money. And they're like, all right. That cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't be doing that shit.
Yeah. So it's just crazy.
You spray paint over somebody's name, you're staking a claim on their territory.
Yeah. And they're like, who the fuck are the warriors coming through? I've never heard of these people.
Uh-huh.
And the crew had to deal with a lot of things. They had extremely late hours. They worked from, like...
I mean, it's all at night.
Yeah, everything's at night.
Everything was overnight. Had to be.
So, they're being loud. And the crew got peed on by residents above them because they were like, fuck y'all.
No shit. Yeah. Because they wouldn't shut the fuck up.
They wouldn't shut the fuck up.
Wow.
So.
But they had their permits.
It don't fucking matter. I got to work in the morning. Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
I didn't give you a permit. Ajax.
Damn that shit.
I know. That wasn't in deleted scenes. I didn't see the piss. The golden showers on them. I didn't know you were into golden showers, girl. That's my jam.
Oh my god. Of course you go back to Tiffany Haddish.
That's my girl. So Ajax, his line, I'll shove that bat up your ass
and turn you into a popsicle
is ranked number 12 on UGO's top 50 tough guy lines. And it's the top 50 greatest baseball
player. I'll shove that bat up your ass and turn you into a popsicle.
Ever.
Which is a good one. There's no crying in baseball.
I would hope that's number one. That's actually what I thought it was. Would be.
Or some shit from the Sandlot.
James, he really... like you said, he's the one who probably works the most out of everybody.
Uh-huh.
And that's because he takes his shit serious. Like, literally everything I read about... the process of this, he took that shit serious from the get-go. Like, so when he, early on when he had to do the role, go for an audition, he became so involved in the audition, reading of the park bench scene, where, you know, like, when they entrap that fool, he became so, like, into the scene that he jumps up and he, like, lifts up this heavy-ass table that the producers and the casting agents are sitting at, and it's like yelling. And as soon as he left, they gave him the role.
Some would call that overacting, but
no, because he's like handcuffs. He's like, "Let me go!" You know, he starts freaking out. Yeah,
you know, you're handcuffed to a bench.
He starts freaking out.
Uh huh.
He did a lot to do this, and I think that he brought everybody like together. One of my favorite stories that I found out about this is that the Warriors' vests were made out of fake leather. Okay.
Leather? What?
Yeah. And each guy only got one vest per guy.
I mean.
But yeah, so that was it. So James, James took his home, and he still has his till this day. I saw an interview where he like busted it out, and he's like, look, I still got it. And he put it on, it's all like super young on tight on him, but. It was good. He got the whole man titties popping. So yeah, I just want to tell you that it was $4 million to make this movie.
Really?
And that's $4 million.
That's 1978. $4 million.
So today it's $14 million. Okay.
Okay.
So it made $22.5 million, which in today is $80 million.
Wait, what? How does that compute?
I went on something.
79 million.
No. In 1979, they made 22.5 million.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
They made 22.5 million, which in today is 80 million.
I got you.
So they didn't use that much money to make this movie, and they made a pretty good profit off of it. And I think that is because they used real people, and they used unknown actors.
I think if they would have made that movie today, with today's marketing and everything, I think it would have made a lot of money.
Yeah.
If somebody,
especially with that comic
would
book,
want to like remake this movie.
If anyone remakes this movie, I will punch you in the face. Unless you cast me as Marcy. Or the DJ.
You don't want to be the DJ?
I mean, you don't see her face, but Marcy gets to, like, you know, run around and kick out.
I got you. What if they remade this movie and they had James Raymore play Cyrus?
That would actually be pretty cool.
That'd be all right.
I could see that. Like, he'd be like a head. But I feel like if he did it, he'd be more of like a mob boss.
I mean, there isn't really any, though.
I know. I don't know. I guess he could.
Everybody's
do it.
Young in this
movie. We'll just like tat his face up and shit, make him look real hard.
He'll have his own ideas.
How about we don't remake everything and leave my fucking warriors the way they are?
There you go.
So, Michael Beck, according to an article that I read, he broke 3 of a stuntman's ribs while filming the scuffle with the baseball fairy.
I figured it was going to be that one.
Yeah. And he was unaware of this until he was confronted by the same stunt guy at a Warriors reunion event 36 years later.
He didn't know that he broke homeboy's ribs?
Had no clue.
How the fuck do you not know that?
I don't know. To be honest with you, he seems kind of reckless. He has hurt a couple other people on this...
On this project or in other movies?
No, on this project. Like, a lot of people got hurt on this project. You're like, dang, yo.
Trying to be Sean Penn over here? Method actor?
Yeah. Where'd it go? Yeah, like, he broke Marcy's... Oh, he threw a bat, like, in a scene, and it hit her in the face, and she had to go get stitches.
Nice.
So, I mean, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, this fool just sit over here hurting fools. You're like, dang, man.
Thinks he's this amazing actor.
I guess.
Mike, relax.
Yeah.
I don't know movie if people are getting hurt.
I can't think of what else I've seen him in. The other black dude, he was in Hair.
Which one?
Like the second in charge black dude.
Oh, I got you. I can't remember his name.
I think that was him. Or was it the first black dude?
See what I'm saying? Most of these guys did not go on.
Yeah.
Which I guess if this was their first role, you know... Not some popcorn pops, some popcorn doesn't.
I guess so. I mean,
Hugo Posh popped.
Get out. Okay.
I mean, James Raymore works hard. He's never going to win an Oscar, but the man works.
He's constantly on TV and in movies. He's like that dude.
Yeah.
He's like, that guy
from that one movie.
That's that dude. That's Dexter's dad. That's, you know, the fucking dumbass from Warriors. Like, yeah. That's Samantha's boyfriend. Okay, so.
You got anything else?
Yeah, I'm going to hit through this real quick. Okay, so David Patrick, the guy who plays Luther, he said he improv-propped his line, come out to play.
One of the most famous lines in all of cinema.
He got it from a neighbor who intimidated everybody and would, like, say stuff like that.
Creepy-ass neighbor?
Yeah. And so he was kind of improving it, and they're like, I like that. And they're like, here's some
with
fucking
bottles. With the
bottles
in his hand.
Here's some bottles.
Clink, clink, clink,
he's like,
clink.
Come out to play.
He pissed me off from the moment I seen him on.
Yeah, that's why they were like, look at this guy's face and his douchebag hair.
And like, even when he's blaming him.
It was the Warriors! The Warriors!
Like, he believes it in his mind.
He does, he does.
They did it. He's just one of you know what he is? He is just one of those characters, one of those people that wants to see the world burn.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reasoning for what he did. He even says it. I just like doing stuff like that. He's a loose cannon. He is impossible to predict, and he just wants to destroy everything.
Yeah. And that's why immediately you're just like, I hate this fucker.
Yeah.
He still keeps the lie going. He's trying to find them before everybody else so he can make sure he kills them. Because, I can't even.
And even through all of it, what does his buddy tell him? He's like, why are you doing this? He's like, I'm having a good time.
Yeah. This is like his fun.
Fucking people's lives up. I love doing this shit.
Yeah, I like to come over to your house and make cocktails and do podcasts.
Right?
This fool,
that's normal shit.
To frame a group of people and get them killed. Mm-hmm. That's his jam.
Crazy ass.
Okay, so Vernon, who is he's like the comic relief in it. He was scripted to be like...
There's a comic relief in this?
Like, kind of. You're like, he's the one who's always like, oh, yeah, I love the girls. I can't even...
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about? And he'd be like, yeah, you ladies. He's like the white guy or whatever.
How did you do it?
I'm not doing it again. I'm not. You have it recorded. You can play it again if you like.
I just want to see
what you're doing. I know. I am totally doing... You can't see me, but I'm like doing gestures and shit over here. So, he's like, oh. You know who I'm talking about, though, right?
I know who you're talking about.
Okay, so he was scripted to be killed by the Lizzies. But the actor who played him, he played the character more comedic.
Uh-huh.
And so he would be more memorable and get more screen time. And he did. They decided they didn't want to kill him. They liked him. And he talked...
Stayed in the movie.
Stayed in the movie. He makes
How many
it
actors
in.
Have done that?
He makes it well. In.
Tom Cruise wouldn't be who he is now if he didn't do that.
Yeah. You just gotta...
In his first movie, Taps, he was only supposed to have like two lines in the whole movie.
Is he tap dancing or something?
No, Taps is about a bunch of young boys in the military school.
Oh, the sad Taps.
And there goes that pan again.
I'm sorry. Give me one like the librarian where it's like on a chain.
Oh, there you go.
You know what I'm talking about? That's what I mean.
Maybe I'll put it in your stocking stuffer for Christmas.
Hey! I'm excited. Okay, so, crew members were sent death threats because the local gangs weren't cast in the movie.
What?
Yeah, and even thousands of dollars worth of equipment were damaged when the gang tore through the set during the lunch break. And these sets were usually... always crowded with people, no matter what time it is. 3 a.m. in the morning, it's frozen, people...
It's New York.
...are out there. They're like, what the fuck's going on? Oh, my God, they're filming over here. And so, gang members were threatening them, like, I'll fucking kill you because you didn't put me as one of the 1,000 extras in this movie. I mean, it made its way...
Weird, though.
I know. It made its way all the way to the White House. Even President Reagan was a fan of the film. And he even called Michael and was like, yo, man, I really like, your movie. I saw a screening of it at Camp David, and I really enjoyed it. Like, he even got calls from the president.
Michael, the main character?
Swan. Yeah.
Getting calls from the president.
Yeah,
can't even call the director. Be like, hey, technically this is your movie.
You would think so, since, I don't know, Reagan's a fucking actor.
Right.
He knows the deal, but he wasn't a good actor either. I don't care what anyone says.
You didn't like Reaganomics?
You mean the shit we're still paying for right now?
Yes.
Don't get me started. We're talking about movies, not politics.
I hear is Eddie Murphy's voice in the back of my head, though. Of course Reaganomics sucks. Tell me something I don't know, motherfucker.
Exactly.
Hey, Ron, they're the ones booing. I didn't say the shit.
Okay, so we're almost done here. The fight between the Warriors and the Baseball Fury was scripted to be extremely graphic and realistic. So the producers suggested to add music to diffuse the impact of that, which I kind of don't think it's as bad because they put that shit in slow motion and it's kind of funny. And it makes it more not as serious because they're like, shh, like slow motion hitting each other.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know how about that. And
it was definitely my favorite fight sequence in the movie.
Oh yeah, that and the probably my favorite one is the bathroom scene with the guys on the roller skates.
Oh yeah, and you know they had only one take to do that. Yeah. The way that they destroyed those bathroom stalls.
Well, okay, and everything. That is the only scene in the movie that is a set.
Even still, even if it is a set, they don't got like
no. I understand
spare bathrooms. To...
Well, they have like spare doors, probably.
Maybe.
I'm just saying that that's the only place that was a set. That wasn't real.
Resets on that take half a day.
Yeah. So,
Right, babe?
She tired. Leave her alone.
She tired. She just got offset.
Yeah.
She's working with, what's his name today? Nick Miller from New Girl.
Oh.
Apparently he likes to joke around on set, which is awesome.
I like people like to joke. I love when people make
set a good time.
Smashley, figure out what you want for dinner because I'm hungry. Okay, so.
Well, Burgers is closed. I'm sorry.
I know.
We're going to get you that burger one of these days.
Yeah. I might go while you guys are gone. I won't go while you're gone. I'll just pass it and wave to it.
You're going to go and Mark Wahlberg's going to serve you a burger.
And I can't even tell you because I told you I was going to go. I would care. I would tell you. I'd be like, look, I know I couldn't wait. Go.
And guess who I ran into?
It was
way better. Diddy's here too.
I can't stop, won't stop. Okay. So, lastly, of some fun facts. I didn't really sing that much.
So. That was a nice one, though.
Thank you.
Maybe because it's the next day now.
Is it midnight already?
It's past midnight.
Okay.
We're working into the wee hours tonight.
Okay. So, the game came out in 2005. For PlayStation 2 and Xbox, and it made its fan base like quadruple.
She did finish her drink, people. That's just water. That's just ice and froth.
I know. I'm gonna make another one as soon as we're done. So yeah, I do have my little charity that we're gonna do. It was kind of hard to figure out what charity to pair with this movie. Along with the fucking alcohol that it took me forever. I don't even want to get started on it because I was so upset about it. I'm glad I found it. It was good. I'm drunk. I'm happy. There is an actor in the movie, Marcelo Sanchez. Do you know which one he is?
He's I know Marcellus Wallace.
I know. No, he's like the one with the little afro, and he would spray paint everywhere they went.
Gotcha.
Like, oh, Jesus. Like
he was the one they had to protect. He was a
sweetie, yeah. So, he died he died so young from AIDS-related cancer in 1986.
That's right.
So, HIV and AIDS is an ongoing problem that we have. We need people to help us find cures, and it's just as bad as it was in 20 or 35 years ago. It's still as bad as it is in the 80s than it is now. You know, nearly 5,000 people become infected with HIV each day. Okay, that's more than 200 people every hour are getting infected. Okay,
take your prep, people.
Yeah, it's nothing to play with. Help find a cure. As hell. Yeah, help find a cure for the 37 million people living with HIV today by supporting life-saving scientific research, establishing new treatments and better medicine, and maybe even a cure. So, you know, go on their website so you can, you know, donate because he died so young. He was only 28.
Yeah.
And he died and... It kind of sucked. I found that out a long time ago, like doing just my normal research on movies, not for this. And it just made me sad because he was like the sweetest one in the gang. Mm-hmm. Like you said, he's the one they had to protect all the time. And, you know, I feel like he's either very young or he might be gay because when they're at the Leslie's.
Yeah. He definitely was. It just wasn't portrayed.
It wasn't portrayed. He was because
how many times did Ajax say, "You going faggot on me?"
Yeah,
in the movie.
I know, but
it's a different time.
Different time.
different time. It was the '70s. It wasn't.
Yeah, different time. So, him being in there and nobody, you know, the girls are trying to touch him. He's the only one holding the bag, like you know, looking around like these bitches are. They're setting us up. So yeah,
thank God he was. You ready to tell the people what we're doing next week?
You know, we actually didn't.
We didn't even come up with a scene to do.
I actually just thought about that right now as I was saying the last thing, and then I was looking over at what. Can you pause it until I find me a line real quick?
No. What's your favorite part of the movie? I'll tell you right now, if you start something, I'm guaranteed to finish it.
Look, I'm finding the lines right now because I found it earlier and I forgot to like tell you about it.
Tell me about what?
The line so that we could do it.
Oh, okay.
And I feel like you know it because...
I probably do. Just hit me with the first line. And here we go.
Okay, go. But you guys do the accent.
I can do the accent. It's fine.
Okay, hit it.
You're still involved with him next door, ain't you?
Excuse me?
You should have seen yourself at dinner. No, we gotta take this back. That's not gonna work. That ain't gonna work.
It's not gonna work. It's too long.
Man, what time is it?
I don't know. I haven't worn a watch since I moved to the island.
Really? Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, mainly because the time's on my phone and I don't really need a watch.
Well, yeah, so basically the same thing.
So that's next week.
That's next week.
If you know it.
Life hands you lemons and you just say, let's fuck the lemons and bail.
And bail. All
right. That is our podcast. We are Lights, Camera,
Cocktails.
And we're going to get out of here. Let's go. Tacos on me.
Let's do it.